Hello, Joe. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
You used to live in Portland in Los Angeles. You're living now in Leipzig for over a year. Is that right?
Yes, about a year and a half.
I wonder, how does moving from LA to Leipzig feel like? It must be quite a culture shock, right?
It was less of a culture shock than moving from Portland to Los Angeles,
okay,
actually. I think Portland and Leipzig have more in common than... But LA is LA. There's nothing quite like Los Angeles.
What was that like to get in this other world when you moved from Portland to Los Angeles?
You felt like the apocalypse was right around the corner at all moments. You saw the very true problem of rich and poor in America put in front of your eyes at every moment almost. I would visit a friend who was a successful director and be in rich neighborhoods, and then I would go back to my neighborhood and it was just complete poverty.
Also ich habe Joe gerade gefragt, was das denn für ein Kulturschock vielleicht war, als er von Los Angeles nach Leipzig gezogen ist. Und er hat gesagt, es war eher ein Kulturschock, als er von Portland nach Los Angeles gezogen ist. Denn Los Angeles, da hat er gesagt, das fühlt sich an wie die Apokalypse ist da vor der Haustür sozusagen. Es gibt eine wahnsinnig große Schere zwischen Arm und Reich. So with that outside view on the US that you now have, how do you experience what is going on in your home country, especially when you look at the election campaign and all the madness around Trump and the Republicans?
It's heartbreaking. It's really sad, and it makes me angry, but mainly sad. It's amazing to see what corporate greed and power can do. It can do a lot, and America is the testing ground for all of it.
Also ich habe ihn gefragt, wie das sich jetzt so anfühlt, wenn er von außen auf seine alte Heimat zurückschaut, auf die USA, wo ja gerade der Wahlkampf und Trump vor allen Dingen stattfindet. Und er sagt, ja, es macht einen nur noch traurig, also weniger wütend, sondern eher traurig, was da gerade passiert. So Germany is experiencing some right-wing madness right now as well. So I always find it hard when you meet like old friends or relatives and you find out, whoa, they actually share those racist or radical positions. Do you know situations like that? How do you cope with that? Is it worth arguing with these people?
I feel like a lot of friends are starting to have this more common thing that you describe. And my parents are really blind conservatives and they're voting for Trump. I've kind of attempted to talk to them about it, but it's just they hear the media and they hear sound bites and they hear fear. Mm-hmm. That's all they hear. And they don't look out their doors to see what they have and what others don't have. And I don't think there's an easy answer, but I know that people need to actually talk to one another directly and actually experience each other, but that's not the way the world's moving.
Also ich habe ihn gerade darauf angesprochen, dass wir hier in Deutschland auch gerade so einen kleinen Rechtsruck erleben mit der AfD und ähnlichen extremen Positionen, und habe ihn darauf angesprochen, wie das so ist, wenn man zum Beispiel Leute in der Verwandtschaft oder Freunde trifft, wo man dann feststellt, die denken ja genauso hoch. Und er sagt, ja, das kennt er auch. Seine Eltern tatsächlich sind auch Trump-Wähler und alles, was die eben so konsumieren, sind eben so Soundbites, also kleine Sachen aus den Medien, die halt eine Botschaft tragen, nämlich Angst, Fear. Und er sagt aber, ja, man muss auf die Leute eingehen, man muss mit denen reden. So, do you feel ever inspired by something like this as a musician?
Yeah, constantly. I think in my generation, I grew up with punk rock that was all about culture and politics smashing together and wanting to create a little bit of revolt against something. And then somewhere in the 90s, that just became not cool, I guess. And so the underground followed that. For me, yeah, it's always something. I think everyone is a little tired of the cliche of political or cultural movements that are super obvious. But yeah, everything I do, it's about something political or about humanity in life, because if you're just singing emptiness or just writing songs because you think they have a good melody, that's just not for me.
Also auch die politische Situation inspiriert Joe zum Musikmachen. Er ist früher mit Punk aufgewachsen, wo ja auch immer eine große kulturelle, politische Botschaft mitgeschwungen ist, die Revolte. Und in den 90ern war das dann irgendwann nicht mehr so cool. Der Underground hat dann mitgemacht und alle waren so ein bisschen ja Politik verdrossen. Aber für ihn, sagt er, ist das ein ganz wichtiges Ding fürs Musikmachen. Da geht's also schon auch im Politische, einfach um menschliche Inhalte. So, we're gonna talk more about the music and about white wine, of course, in a bit. First, I want to give it up for you to play an unplugged live song. What are you going to play?
This is called Losing Sweet Permission.
Joe Hagey von White Wine live bei Detektor FM.
Love it to me, it seems we're smoke. 'Cause if it was steam, then we wouldn't choke. But because of the fire, we've always felt. But wherever there's fire, there's a taste of hell. Suffice it to say, the day is near when calamity reigns and breeds a fear, making all our mistakes and all those fears seem pathetic and yet seem oh so dear. Desert underneath the stars. It no longer matters where you are until the day. Until the day. Until that day. Until that. I'm losing sweet permission, feeling forward and falling behind. I'm begging you, please, let's break up the losing streak. Until that day, until that day.
Maggie von White Wine in der Detektor FM Session. So White Wine started as a solo project. How come you extended the solo project to a three-piece band now?
I had started White Wine when I was still doing 31 Knots as a main project. And it was just trying to do something different that wasn't technical rock. I wanted to challenge myself and I did something more MIDI and synth-based. And then I wanted to tour Europe to visit friends, because that's the only way I can afford to do things. So Fritz was the sound man of Tufani and Menomina, and I asked him if he wanted to be in my band, and that way we could hang out and drive around Europe together. And we did it. We did it for a month, and we had a lot of fun. It went really well, and so we kind of talked about making it more serious, and then I went back to Los Angeles, and 3 weeks later, he wrote me and said that the apartment next to his was open, and it was really cheap, and I thought, I have no wife, I have no children, why not move to Europe?
Okay, that's spontaneous.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
Also ich habe gerade Joe gefragt, wie das alles so losging mit White Wine. Das war nämlich am Anfang noch ein Solo-Projekt. Joe hat bei 31 Knots gespielt, später noch bei Two Fawning und er wollte Musik machen, die nicht so ja ganz klassischer Rock ist, sondern wollte mal ein bisschen mit MIDI und Synths rumprobieren. Hat dann eben zwei Solo-Alben als White Wine gemacht und ist dann nach Europa gekommen, um Freunde zu besuchen. Zum Beispiel Fritz Brückner, der war Soundmann bei Menomina und er hat ihn dann gefragt, ob er da mitmachen will. Dann sind sie zusammen auf Tour gegangen. Das hat großen Spaß gemacht. Und dann irgendwann, als Joe wieder zurück in Los Angeles war, hat Fritz ihm eine Nachricht geschrieben, hat gesagt, hier, willst du nicht, bei mir um die Ecke wird eine Wohnung frei, willst du da einziehen, komm doch nach Leipzig. Und da hat Joe gesagt, klar, bin ich dabei. Und das war sozusagen die Geburtsstunde von White Wine, which is now a three-piece band.
Yeah, with Christian Kirmeskur.
Christian Kirmeskur, right. So you not only got settled here in Leipzig with the band, you also built a studio with some friends, the so-called Haunted House, and the new White Wine album actually was recorded in the time when the studio was built, right?
Yeah, that was the other project to do when I moved here. Fritz has wanted to open a studio for years, and I've always wanted to, but never really had a partner that would be better organized than me, maybe. He's amazing with so many things. So yeah, we wanted to open a studio and we finally did, or start. We got the space and we knew that we just had to figure things out, but we wanted to record at the same time. So we kind of just did it in pieces and would set up some stuff, record a few songs, take it all down, build another structure or whatever we needed, and then kind of keep going like that.
So are there any hammering noises on the record while you built the studio and recorded the songs?
No, but there are some piles of things that would just be there and I would hear the sound of them. And so I would put mics all around them and like make sounds out of that. So that was fun.
Also die Albumaufnahmen waren tatsächlich ganz interessant, weil simultan, als sie das Album aufgenommen haben, haben sie ein Studio gebaut, das sogenannte Haunted House hier in Leipzig. Da hat er in Fritz Brückner den kongenialen Partner gefunden, der eh lange Zeit schon ein Studio bauen wollte. Und dann haben sie das so ja peu à peu gebaut und das Album aufgenommen und haben dann immer so Sachen, Strukturen irgendwie aufgebaut, wo sie gedacht haben, na, das könnten sie jetzt noch gebrauchen für das Album. Und dann war das so ein Prozess, das Bauen des Studios und das Aufnehmen des Albums. Who Cares What the Laser Says is the title of the record. Does it come from some kind of a frustration about technology?
First, in a sense, I think it's a funny way to think about it because obviously lasers don't talk. That's one thing. But I do think the laser in a lot of ways represents what used to be the future, you know? In the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, lasers were, you know, oh my God, the modern world. And now they are so part of everything. You know, you go to the supermarket and every scan is done by a laser. Mm-hmm. And
you know, that always reminds me of that Austin Power movie scene. Do you know that? Where the bad guy says, "We have a laser." And he
yeah, exactly.
Like
it's the same
and
thing.
It's the 60s, 70s thing is in there as well.
Yeah, this whole idea that there's like a laser is something, you know, special. But at the same time, technology, the way it's moving is amazing and yet completely frightening. But also, for anyone like myself that's part of the machine that is, it's a little hypocritical to even ask the question, you know, because I'm frustrated with technology and yet I'm staring at my smartphone right now and used Google Maps to get here. And it's a really, I think, every way you look at technology and government and everything in the modern age, nothing is an easy solution. And with that, my phone...
Yeah.
Just got a text. Oh, the irony.
That's how it works, yeah.
Yeah.
Also wir haben gerade ein bisschen über den Albumtitel gesprochen von White Wine, Who Cares What The Laser Says? Und ja, der Laser steht so ein bisschen für dieses Technologieding, wo man irgendwie in den 60ern, 70ern, wenn man da gesagt hat Laser, dann war das was total Zukunftsmäßiges und man hatte so ein bisschen Angst davor, aber es war irgendwie auch ja begeisternd und um diesen Zwiespalt geht es auch so ein bisschen, dieses, dass man auf sein Smartphone guckt und Joe ist mit Google Maps, hat sich hierher navigiert ins Studio und gleichzeitig aber so ein bisschen verdrossen ist gegenüber der Technologie. So, without much technology but just with an acoustic guitar, you're going to play another song for us.
Yeah.
What's that song gonna be?
It's called Plastic Entrance. And yeah, I realized that I forgot to write a part where there's other instruments, so it's a little stripped down in the middle, but...
The stripped down version played live in the Detector FM studio.
If you ever need to fake it, pull the roll over one. I can be your plastic entrance into a world of compromise. If you ever need to let go, throw your problems out the window and run. I can be your fixed ellipsis, holding places, accepting charges. I'll help you anyway. I have no faith in names. I have no faith in rules. I don't believe in games, but I believe in you.
Plastic Entrance, live eingespielt von Joe Hagee von White Wine hier im Detector FM Studio. Quite a stripped down version. There's all lots of stuff happening on the record. I guess that must be pretty hard to strip it that down on one instrument, one voice.
It's near impossible. And honestly, every time I think I should try to be more prepared, I don't even know where to begin, because the way my brain works is I hear all these little sounds from each song and think, I should try to do that, but You can't do everything on an acoustic guitar.
Genau so ist es. Also alles kann man nicht machen auf der Akustikgitarre. Wer hören will, was da noch so alles passiert, und das kann ich sehr empfehlen, der höre sich das Album an. Who Cares What The Laser Says, so heißt das Album von White Wine. Am Donnerstag, den 16. Juni, spielen White Wine ihre Record-Release-Show im Coney Island in Leipzig. Danach gibt es unter anderem noch Konzerte in München und Erlangen. Alle Termine sowie diese Session zum Nachhören und Nachsehen gibt's wie immer online auf Detektor FM. Joe, thanks for coming. Thanks for the lovely session.
Thank you so much.
Die Detektor FM Session live im Studio.